Welcome to part two of the Age Proud Leeds Diverse Voices podcast. Age Proud Leeds is a campaign to raise awareness of ageism and change negative attitudes about ageing and older people. We have spoken to older people from diverse communities across Leeds to explore their views about ageism and other kinds of discrimination. They all have life experience of facing discrimination and have generously shared their thoughts with us. In part two, we will hear more about how we can tackle discrimination, how we can support older people, and the positives of being from a diverse community. But first, a bit more on some of the impacts of discrimination.
So health inequalities, you tend to find that people from the Pakistani background probably have, on average, have worse health outcomes. Socioeconomically, they are disadvantaged as well. So all of these combined with ageism, where even the doctor may think, well, actually, you know what, you should expect this at this age. Maybe, actually, you know what, just kind of put up with it. Or really, is this what, I don't know, maybe what we want to be spending our money on? You know, this is where we want to put our resources. And I think that kind of experience, I've also had that with, you know, with the healthcare system for my parents particularly.
I feel as if having something affect me in the way it did, that I've spent a lot of my life recovering and rehabilitating, etc. And I don't want to be sort of written off.
Even if you're in 80s, you can still have life, you're still living. Sometimes that I got that impression, and I was told that they won't do that because of the age, and I think that shouldn't happen, because if that person needs the operation on the hip, doesn't matter what age it is, it's going to be comfortable for that person once it's done. But I think somebody said that, and that what reminds me of, because they're saying, oh, they're just not going to do it because of the age. You're not important. You're not important because you've got maybe a few years to live.
There's a part of me that is becoming a little bit angry about it. Part of me that's becoming sad as well.
Many trans people, you gain so much when you transition. There are losses come with it as well. Losses obviously are most acute and serious within your family. And you know, I know trans people who've lost practically everything: partner, children, job. You know, and have become quite desperate. So that's sad, and that's still a reflection of the way in which, although life has greatly improved for trans people, there are still huge problems of acceptance. Any sort of LGBT Catholic, official teaching of the church is so negative and hostile and says it's wrong and sinful. You have to live with that. Those three things can be the most important things in your life. You know, your gender identity and sexuality on the one hand, your faith, you know, your religion, and your family relationships. And they can all be severely tested once you come out. Lots of people of faith do manage eventually to kind of find a way around that and be reconciled to it. And I hope I have, but it's never complete, because you're all still living with this sense of tension between who and what you are and the teaching of the church that you belong to.
It's just some of the things that get said to you, you know, sort of the number of people who felt it was right to comment on my ability in the wheelchair. And I know that they're just being friendly, but I want to say, well, you are quite good at walking. How long have you been doing that for? I don't want to talk about whether I can use my wheelchair. I'd rather have a conversation about anything else. But sometimes you are your wheelchair.
Just going to end up getting pestered every 2 minutes because someone's being nice and kind and helping me, but sometimes you want to wear a badge saying, I'll ask for help if I need it, sort of thing.
I think when I was young and disabled, I was certainly pitied, or people said to me, what's happened to you? And were much more interested in my story. I feel now, sort of grey-haired and older, that there is less of a interest. It's difficult to pull out the age and the disability and other things. When I became disabled, I didn't want sort of sympathy and that sort of thing. And quite often I found that people's questions were intrusive about what has happened to you, etc. So it's not that I sort of want that back. People saw me as a person and who'd got a story, whereas becoming older, it just becomes part of life sort of experience. And, you know, yes, sort of old, can't walk, you know, so what, in a way.
Taking action to challenge discrimination was important to everyone we spoke to.
I did once turn around to somebody and say very snappily to him, you got two choices, pal, you'll either die or grow old. That's about the only time I've taken it head on.
You can't just by sheer willpower resist social pressures and ageism. You can do something about it.
What I do personally when I'm in a group, not negative talk, but you know, sometimes you have different conversation and they will say, oh, you're a pasty. I says, excuse me, I was right where you were. So you should come to me, let me acknowledge you. But when you do think it's a discrimination, it needs to be challenged. And if it's challenged, I always say it makes it easier than not challenging. Because when you're challenging it, it will get talked about. But if you said nothing, you will be the one that left behind. And this is how we're going to break the barriers to say, I might be 80, but of course I can ride a bike. So why should I not ride a bike? You know, and that's how we break it.
People are trying hard to embrace diversity and challenge discrimination. So there's a lot of positives, but also no room for complacency. And we still keep, we've still got quite a long way to go with issues like ageism, homophobia and transphobia and racism, which we've all become much more conscious of recently. So again, don't be complacent, celebrate the progress, but work hard to still challenge, because people are still suffering in lots of ways from all kinds of discrimination.
I think we have to challenge it like anything. Whether you're young or old, you do have to challenge the fact that it's too young, you don't know what he's doing, to this silly old buggering corner, just leave him there. You know what I mean? We have to challenge everything.
Otherwise, if you don't challenge anything in life, people won't know anything about you, or people don't know. Say, if, for instance, if something that hurts you and it's a remark it says to you, and if you don't challenge that, they don't know how it has affected me in that way. So maybe next time they'll think about it before they actually say something. So you need to be challenging, and life is challenging.
It's a discrimination that tends to be more acceptable, or not. People don't realize that this is actually a discrimination. For example, the same discrimination based on race or color we wouldn't do, but it seems fine and to be able to do on the basis of age. If people are questioned on it, they would be quite offended that actually you think I'm discriminating. And so I think it's an emerging area, and I think it is important to challenge ageism.
There were lots of great ideas about how we can improve things for older people from diverse communities. Bringing people of different ages together through intergenerational activities came out strongly in people's comments, both as a recommendation and as a positive way forward.
To make things better, we need to invest in older people.
we need to make them be a part of society and accept them. We have to accept that they are still society.
I have very little knowledge of care homes, but I would take a guess that if they take for granted that some of the residents will be from the LGBTQ community and treat them affirmatively. We hear a lot about only family members allowed to visit, and you think, well, hang on a minute. If you don't have a family, or if your family is a family of affiliation rather than a family of blood, then their needs should be recognised. Their right to visit should be recognised. So I would have thought that that's a good start, especially with this coronavirus.
It's not just the people in the homes that are just neglected, put away out of sight and out of mind. The people who look after them, how are they valued? You know, we know that's something that's terribly wrong in our society and needs to be put right. I mean, this government says that they're going to solve the social care crisis amongst everything else. I'm not holding my breath on that one. But every government, you know, for decades has said, we will do something about social care, and nothing ever happens. It's a huge issue. It's becoming more and more of a personal issue for me, because, as I say, at the moment, I can live independently. But who knows about the future, when you're on your own especially? I may need to go into social care. And what will happen then? And as we've discussed, you know, there are particular issues anyway, if you're an LGBT person, about how the care home will cope with that. You know, I'd like to hope that if I'm praying that I never will have to experience that. But if I do, at least I have the protection, you know, of a gender recognition certificate now. So legally, that I'd have to be treated as any other woman.
I think, you know, the women that the language is English, have some split in their language where they can meet people, or if they need any issues or stuff sorted out, some helpful numbers.
Being able to access information, even if it's in your own language, because most people, so for example, from the Pakistani community, they may speak Punjabi or they may not speak English, and they may speak Urdu, but may not be able to write, you know, read Urdu.
Like people got appointment at 9 o'clock and they have to wait until 9:30. They can't. So it shouldn't be a time limit for older people to use that pass. It should be any time that should be used if they need to go.
When they go on the public transport, we need to, it's only two little seats I've noticed at the front. For the elders, we need more, because 4 or 5 elders might happen to come on the bus. Well, you are not going to get up, because you can't get up, because you are just in the same vulnerable situation. So we need to use the bus more comfortable if they go into town. For you know that they use the toilet more. So we don't want a toilet 2 miles away that they will be at the head row and they have to walk all the way. Make sure that it's highlighted, that they know where it is.
Trying to access sort of health, there can be a cultural barrier, a sense of not wanting to put other people at discomfort, or, you know, not wanting other people to go out of their way, or not really, not having the concept that actually having access to good health care is actually a right, but seen as a privilege, and so they're not accessing that. The health care providers merely ticking boxes and going through the motions, etc., and not trying to seek out and trying to determine the needs of the individual.
You know, our diets are different, and the older community, black community, the day centers where they go, they like their own culture food. And so, right, they should. So I think the hospital and different places where we know they go should cater for the black, Asian, whatever, people of color. We should. Because when they lose their identity of their culture, they lose everything. So for the black community, don't just mix with black and a broader picture, you mix with everyone, but at the same time, you want to be with your own. Because like people with dementia, to bring them memories back, we only have to bring something from the past and old records or whatever. So when a black person in the environment with another old black person, they can talk about their culture, they can talk about things, and that will give them the lift. And this is what we like. Put some reggae music on and they'll feel at home. Roles to see and television. And if you notice these days, you see a bit more black faces coming out, different roles coming out. Like in the soaps before, a black person is either a crook or a murderer, and an Asian person is always a corner shop, if you notice in the Time Gone. But now it's more, they're having more, what would I call it now, interaction society roles. And this is the positive bit, what's coming through now. The black, it seems to be kind of coming in, but the ageism needs to come in, because we don't want to see all young people on the television. We want to see age. We want to see disability. We want to see dancing. We want to see LGBT doing their thing. And then it can reflect the society that we live in, because this is the society and it is the way it's going, and this is how we need to reflect it.
I think to get people more involved in their communities and not having them segregated into sort of learning disabled services needs to be, I think, more integration into the standard services for older people. But that would mean more accessible information.
Yeah, maybe that would be
And it's good for lots of different people, people with dementia, sight loss, all that type of thing. It's not just aimed at people with learning disabilities. But booklets that have been sent out to the neighbourhood networks about how to incorporate accessible information and how to work with people with learning disabilities, that just gives really basic information, but just gives people a chance to think about people with differing needs. And maybe the learning disability community working more with other community groups to integrate both ways.
But they need to be integrated with the way society is going. We need to make them feel like they are a part of it, because the elders has contributed to make us where we are today. So we cannot go forward and leave them behind. We need to take them with us. And that's how I feel that we can make it better in many ways.
Although older people from diverse communities face many difficulties, it is important to recognise the contributions people have made to wider society. And in spite of discrimination, people live happy and productive lives. These final comments reveal their positive and optimistic outlooks.
I would recommend multi-generational projects, anything that means that people speak to each other. I was thrilled that one of the ideas that I'd had for a talking project for younger and older members of the LGBTQ community came off a couple of years ago. We got older and younger people together, and the conversations were brilliant.
Although older people from diverse communities face many difficulties, it is important to recognise the contributions people have made to wider society. And in spite of discrimination, people live happy and productive lives. These final comments reveal their positive and optimistic outlooks.
I'm reasonably comfortable with the role of being the trans elder, you know, who's able to hopefully contribute a little bit to others going on this extraordinary gender journey towards the greater acceptability of trans people will mean that such problems won't arise in the future. You won't have people like me who had to pretend to be something else and disguise their true nature and live in a way that society expected you to, and the problems that arise from that. Hopefully that just won't happen in the future. Hopefully the future is bright for trans people. We are getting there. There's still an awfully long way to go. I hope to be around for a little while yet, but I may not quite live to see a world in which it's just perfectly okay to be trans.
Because I know a few older people that are older than me, and they are so interesting, and what, you know, they've seen life and they've got a lot of experience. They know so much, you know, you admire them.
And in terms of being, you know, what's positive about being me, because of everything that's happened to me, I feel as if I've developed an empathy. I want to hear other people's stories. I'm a bit bored with my own. But I want to, I hope that it's helped to make me a better listener.
Yeah, I think we do. We stereotype. I mean, because that old person in the corner has probably lived so much that if you just asked them and start speaking to them, you'd learn a hell of a lot of stuff from them as well. You probably really would. Yeah, even if they've had a bad life and they're prepared to tell you about it. You then know what's gone off and you can probably try and stop it in the future. Because, I mean, a lot of the voluntary stuff I'm doing now isn't going to help me. I'll be long gone before it changes things. But if change does happen because of something I've done and everyone else has done now, if it's 20, 30, 40 years down track, at least we've done something and achieved something.
So as we reach the end of our podcast exploring the ageism and discrimination that older people from diverse communities face, we hope that it has raised awareness of how these things impact on people's lives and how important it is that we tackle inequality. Visit the Time to Shine website to get involved in Age Proud Leeds and help us in our campaign. You will also find more information about the issues faced by older people from diverse communities. Thanks to everyone who has helped us with this podcast, to Nassim, Eileen, Pauline, Ruth, Phil, Nazreen, Zubair, Colin, Ernest and Anna Marie, and many others who guide us in our work. Age Proud Leeds is led by Leeds Older People's Forum as part of the Time to Shine programme, funded by the National Lottery Community Fund. It is delivered alongside our partners within Leeds City Council, the NHS, the Centre for Ageing Better and voluntary sector organisations in Leeds.